Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
John Batchelor with Mary Kissel, Executive Vice President, Stevens Incorporated, former senior advisor to the Secretary of State, who has traveled widely these last years in the capitals of Europe and the capitals of Asia, adversaries and allies. And we look to one adversary now, Beijing. Mary, within these last hours, Wang Yi, the foreign minister of the People's Republic of China, odd remarks, but he is always aggressive. And in one of his aggressive remarks, I believe in response to a question, he said that he discourages any thoughts of forming a NATO in the Pacific. It's striking to me how Wang Yi now and again comes up with a really good policy idea. Do you think this is practical, Mary, to put together Japan, Australia, the United States, Canada, all the Pacific Rim nations with democracy and construct a defensive alliance the way once upon a time, two generations ago, it was done in Europe?
Well, the Chinese Communist Party leadership has made similar statements in the past. They, of course, fear an alliance of democracies and like-minded nations in the Pacific because they would like an unimpeded path for their expansionist ambitions. Of course, this is already forming naturally through the Quad, which is the grouping of India, Japan, Australia, and the United States. Now, it's not a formal alliance with a big fancy building and, huge bureaucracies. But in some ways, it's actually more effective because it's more flexible. It allows for cooperation across a variety of areas, economic, military, in other ways. And it's happening naturally as those countries in Asia Pacific, or the Indo-Pacific rather, realize the extent of the threat from Beijing. And that's a good thing. The Asia-Pacific nations are in some respects a little bit harder to knit together. Geographically, it's a much larger space. They don't share common histories. In other words, the nations of, the Pacific Island Rim may not have a heck of a lot in common with, Brunei, but it is not impossible to find groupings of those nations to work together. And that's what the Quad is. And I would not be surprised to see similar groupings start to emerge. Take, for instance, the defense alliance that was announced in recent months between Australia and Japan. They are members of the Quad together, but they're doing something separately from the Quad. I would expect to see much more of that in the future.
Xi Jinping embraced Vladimir Putin the first day of the Olympics. The voices in China are very difficult to understand because they come through censorship, but there is a scholarly presentation that was a mistake, that Xi Jinping weakened himself domestically. He's running for a third term. We don't know how it works with the Chinese Communist Party. They seem to have a collective opinion, usually backed up by security personnel watching them carefully. But do you measure that Xi regrets that embrace of Vladimir Putin, or did that strengthen him in his own councils?
We just don't have any way to know. We don't have, and I've said this on your program in the past, we don't have the normal interpreters that we would have in a Western democracy. There is no free press. Our diplomats cannot go where they want to go. Our academics are limited to what the party wants to show them. So are our business people. So how do we know? For all we know, Xi Jinping may look at what's happened in Ukraine and conclude, well, I can't do it the way Putin did it. I really have to do a kamikaze strike on Taiwan if I really want to win. And gee, they're distracted there in the West. Maybe now is a good time. There's an argument for that. But I think that we have to start thinking about tail risks. And to get away from, you know, the received wisdom of the crowds. The received wisdom was that Putin would not go into Ukraine, and that if he did, he would just go into the south. The received wisdom recall on China many years ago is that Xi Jinping was a reformer, that he was going to be the guy that was going to tie China closer to the West. So I take, you know, these themes and, you know, statements in the media that you hear repeated over and over again, I take it with a big grain of salt. I think we need to acknowledge what we don't know, and we need to look at the history of these guys and what they have done to give us an indication of what they may try in the future.
Mary, the final minute. Is the map of Europe changing profoundly? Have we ended the post-Soviet era and entered into something yet unnamed?
We don't know, because, again, Putin has no incentive here to de-escalate, because we have not imposed the severe and significant sanctions that we know we can, because we did it on the Islamic Republic of Iran. So I think any change here may come from the Russian people, who are already protesting against this war. Putin might be overthrown by his coterie of oligarchs who don't like their assets being seized. The Russian military does not seem to be performing very well here. What if they, you know, mutiny and decide that they're not going to, these kids just don't want to fight? Alternatively, Putin could decide his life is on the line here, and he just goes in and he just completely decimates the country in ways that we can't even imagine. There are many scenarios here, but we have to consider all of them.
Mary Kissel, Executive Vice President, Stevens Incorporated, former Senior Advisor to the Secretary of State. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.